Welcome back to the Marketplace. This is our deep dive on free agency ahead of NBL 25. As always, there is a lot going on, particularly as we go to air with this episode. I'm Jack Heverin. We've got the panel assembled, ready to go. Olgun Ulic and Pete Hooley, great to see both of you. Olgun, you are the best newsbreaker in Australian basketball for a reason. Hit us with what you have just dropped on social media.
Yeah, guys, I'm told Will McDowell-Wyatt has informed NBL teams over last night and this morning that he won't be returning to the NBL. There is a ton of interest in Europe, especially in the EuroLeague. He intends to sign a contract in Europe. And so over last night and this morning, the Brisbane Bullets, 36ers, Jack Jumpers, and the South East Melbourne Phoenix, they were all informed by Will himself. He called every team that he will be signing a contract in Europe. And so all the teams hoping to be in that Will McDowell-White the sweepstakes, and all those teams who were those sort of finalists, they won't be getting it.
We heard from nearly every one of those teams that they thought they were going to get his signature. And it's disappointing for those teams, no doubt. But you can understand, and I'm still looking at last season. It's an asterisk season with the injuries he had and the timing of it. Deserves an opportunity in a EuroLeague type environment. I still think he deserves an opportunity eventually in the United States as well. It makes sense at his age where he's at that if he gets that kind of interest that he's going to explore that. Hope to see him back in the league at some point, but it does make a lot of sense. But with what you just said, and I hope we don't look over it, the fact that you're reporting he's called teams himself, I think shows the character that he is, and I think that's a great move from the personal side of a business.
And no disrespect to Will, but we've got to keep moving here on the marketplace. And that is the mindset, I think, of a lot of teams now, is that for the four teams who thought they were in the hunt right until the very end, that they're going in a different direction as of right now.
And it's why I pointed to Will McDowell-White as an easy player to miss out on. Because you miss out on Will McDowell-White, obviously that sucks. All these teams, like you said, internally, externally, they were really confident. Every team was confident that they were going to land him. That's not going to happen. But now they can just all turn their attention to an import point guard. And so that's an easy like-for-like swap there.
We're a little over a week now into the free agency period, so let's have a look at the big winners so far in our minds. Pete, let's start with you. Who's getting a big tick?
Well, it's probably easy to say the Sydney Kings, but I've gone with the Breakers. And there's a reason for that. Mainly it is getting Parker Jackson Cartwright back, because you get an MVP level, a caliber player locked in for next year and to build around him. I love that move for New Zealand. To be able to retain such a high-level piece, I mean, we saw it after Bryce's first year, what he's managed to do. Parker Jackson Cartwright enjoys in the league. He's had success in 1 year. What can he do in year two? And then the couple of moves they've made since, trying to complement their best player, who is PJC. Jonah Bolden, I think, is going to get better. He's going to have a bigger impact in his second year back out of retirement, be able to space the floor for PJC. Mitch McCarron, I think, is going to have a really good breakout year once again after having a tough stretch of it in Adelaide. And then Mojave King, it's kind of an unknown, but I think he's coming in with a bit of a chip on his shoulder. And again, they've got some other pieces they have to fill, but I like where they're at right now, mainly retaining PJC, but also what they're trying to do to complement their best player in what he can do.
So in one breath, I can say that, for example, all the teams that missed out on McDowell-White, it's okay, right? They can go get an import point guard. You still have to nail that import point guard. You have to nail that spot. With the New Zealand Breakers, you know exactly what you're getting in Parker Jackson Cartwright. He is all NBL first team. He was an MVP finalist. So with them, they get to bring back the import point guard, but they know exactly what he is. All these other teams, you bring someone in, you're not entirely sure what that guy is. And so being able to start their free agency with someone like Jackson Cartwright back, and then knowing that they nailed their imports last season, they've already nailed a third of it this season already, they're in a really good position.
Big winner for you so far, Olgun?
Well, it's easy to say the Sydney Kings. So that's exactly what I'm going to do. It's the Sydney Kings. Obviously, they were the most active because they had a lot of spots to fill. But I think that they've just created a really good foundation, not just for now, but also for the future. When you look at what they are now, they've got three starters locked in Bull Kowal, Alex Tui, and Xavier Cooks, right? And Alex Tui is a sneaky one because he's a free player, right? He's someone who is an addition to the 11-man roster that they have, and he's, thankfully to them, a starter-level player. And then bringing in guys like Tyler Robertson and Kelly Lupepe and Isaiah Liafa, guys who can bring a level of energy and intensity defensively, but also locking a bunch of those guys in for multiple years. It kind of, you can see what they're trying to build for the future. This is a team that has always been forward-looking, signing guys to multi-year deals. They've done that. And also, don't forget Kwat Noi as well. Mm. They're able to retain him for 3 years as well. So they've got a lot of this core, including Brian Gorgian, locked in for the next 3 years.
Liafa, the most recent, Pete. I think it's commonly viewed that this is a really smart signing by Sydney.
Yeah, I think it's going to really benefit him to play under Brian Gorgian as well with everything you spoke about, Olgun. But they also understand that defense wins championships, and they've brought in guys who aren't just elite defensively, but they can give you that offensive output as well. And with the names they've got, the three starters locked in, with the bench pieces locked in, it allows them, they don't have to really rush necessarily these last few key spots. Yes, they've got to nail a couple of them, but they've got pieces there to almost contend right away, because they're going to be able to play defense at a high level. They're going to be able to get out in transition. They're going to shoot a lot of threes, I'm sure. But they've also, we see this with not just the college kids that are coming back for Sydney, but around the league as well. They've got potential impact players as well coming back with Lepepe and Robertson as well. So it's easy to say that why you think the Kings have won it so far, and it's a credit to them. And Chris Pongrass, he's great at what he does and showing it early.
My big winner so far, remember Tasmania, the little island that could, that won the championship about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago? I've got my green on today too, by the way. They're my big winner so far for free agency, because that roster is pretty much coming back. With the addition of Gack, I think low expectations on Gorjok Gack, but I think he can play a role in this Tasmanian team. I would imagine that they're probably going to take a step closer towards Jordan Crawford potentially coming back. Now, a championship-winning team is almost going to come back with the same team. You got to love that.
They locked in their core. They were really quick to re-sign Jack McVay, Anthony Drumick, Majuk Deng, Will Magne re-signed during the finals, and so they brought all their guys back. I know they're in extension talks with Sean McDonald as well. So they know what they are. They know that what they want to be in the future. And thankfully for them, what they want to be in the future is exactly what they are right now.
Yep.
And what we know right now is that they're a championship team right now. So they're in a really healthy spot as an organization.
Yeah, and the key watch now is Jordan Crawford, right? Because we all thought that Will McDowell-White, they were getting closer and closer, and people thought, would he go down to Tasmania and join the champions? And now that he's off the table, what happens? Are they going to start to speed that up with Jordan Crawford? Are they going to say, hang on, well, let's just have another look out there? Who else would compliment the team? I know the Jack Jumpers fans would love to see him back. We can't forget the Game 5 heroics. And he was outstanding in the entire regular season as well. We kind of glossed over that because of the struggles early in the postseason. But yeah, it's funny that we keep overthinking the Jack Jumpers and the champions. But you just know that the core's there, that culture's there. So they're all automatically going to be in the mix because they've proven it 3 years in a row.
Any movement on Jordan Crawford, particularly now we know what we know about Will McDowell-White?
Not from what I know as of yet. It wouldn't surprise me if the Jack Jumpers sort of drag their feet a little bit in filling that spot. It's really the only impact spot they have left to fill. And while we can't forget about Game 5 and how impressive that performance was, we also can't forget about Game 1 and Game 2, where there were times where he was not necessarily unplayable, but he wasn't the ideal person to have on the floor at the time. Now, they're very lucky that they have someone like Sean McDonald. I say lucky. They've done a really good job developing him.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't surprise me if they continue to scour the market, maybe find someone who is maybe 10% worse of an offensive player, but 30% more of a defensive player than Crawford is. It might be a more reasonable decision for that team, but it wouldn't surprise me if they sort of continue to look around.
So there's our big winners so far. We have been asked a lot, and we'll get to some more of your questions a little later on, about who's available still? Who can we start to take an eye on? So let's look locally first. We'll talk imports next, but here's a bit of a gauge of the players from last season that are local offerings that are still available. A couple that jump out there. DJ Mitchell has had a good start to the season in NBL 1 North. We've highlighted Jared Bairstow before as a good culture guy for a team who might be looking for someone. Lockie Barker's name always get mentioned when you're talking about scoring. Brock Modem, though. To a man, we've had more questions about Brock Modem in the last 48 hours than any other player just about via our social medias. What can you tell us, Olga?
So from the very beginning, I got the sense that Brock Modem was signalling to NBL teams that he was ready for a return. Whether that was this season or next season, that was still up in the air. It depended on the interest out there. As of now, there's no team for him. He's an interesting situation because he's been in Japan. He is very expensive. And we understand what he brings offensively. There are some deficiencies defensively. And so these are all things that teams need to consider before they bring in someone like him, someone that you more than likely have to marquee. So he does handcuff you to an extent. But there are teams out there with openings at the four spot, especially the starting four spot. I look at Adelaide. I look at Melbourne. Now, these aren't necessarily teams that are interested in him, but they're teams that you can almost see the fit there.
And there's a couple of others, just thinking of that. I mean, Melbourne, we'll wait to see what happens to Luke Travers. We know that there might be a conversation there with Jack White down the track, but if Mitch Creek leaves and South East Melbourne have an opening in the power forward spot, and we touched on this, I think, in the last marketplace that we did, where the Brisbane Bullets, if they were looking to bring in that force by that power force, by, or have a bit of an insurance around, we know Deng Adel, but I think Deng Adel is going to play more on the wing, but then you can have a potential marquee guy in that slot as well. And then, as you said, the handcuffing thing there is that he's not cheap, Brock Modem. And there'd be some other clubs. You could suit him anywhere if you weren't talking just money, because you put him alongside Keanu Pinder out west, and all of a sudden that looks like a formidable front court. But it's always one to watch and see his name pop up.
There's one other name that you wanted to flag in the locals, Olgan, that is familiar to the NBL, that is just starting to surface a little bit.
Yeah, Obi Shea. So he's playing with the Comets in the NBL 1 East. So he's playing with Bwalya Bales on that team. I'm told that at least one team has reached out to see if he's interested in a return. Now, he played for the 36ers a few years back, left basketball to go and pursue other things in the creative side of things, and now he's playing really well in the NBL 1 East. It is a double-double. He's a walking double-double in that league. There's at least one team that's reached out and is gauging whether he wants to return, and it's interesting because there are a lot of teams that have been looking for that backup four spot. And someone like him, 6'9", he brings a sort of nose to the ball energy to the table that he does something that a lot of those backup fours on the market don't do. And there are teams looking to fill that spot. So it wouldn't surprise me if more teams started to reach out to Obi Shea.
And it makes sense. I mean, even though you say it though, but the enticing nature of the fact that he's been in the league before, and again, now that he's performing at NBL 1 East level, and as you said, it wouldn't surprise me if a couple of other names pop up. I'll put you on the spot here, not on the rundown. Another one NBL player who left the game and came back in, Tom Wilson, running around for the Melbourne Tigers in NBL 1 South. You mentioned a couple of teams picked up the phone. Are we getting any closer, or is it look more and more likely that Tom Wilson's going to be an NBL player, or are we kind of in a stalemate right now?
Yeah, so I was at Tom Wilson's game the other night, that Melbourne versus Waverley ended on the tip in buzzer beater.
Get off the court, Gazy. Yeah.
He ran quick, didn't he? I've never seen Gazy move that quick.
He was excited because Mason Gaze hit a bunch of shots before. But no, Tom Wilson was in that game. There's something there as a spot-up shooter. We know what he is athletically and size-wise, and he obviously has a ton of experience in basketball. There are teams interested. Perth is a team that, while they filled one of those last spots with Elijah Pepper, there is still interest from the Perth Wildcats in him. There's interest from the Brisbane Bullets in him as well. And so when you look at those final spots that teams have to fill, that 11th or 12th spot, it looks like he has a chance to fill one of those, and there is still interest around the league in him. So it would surprise me in a big way if he's not on an NBL team this coming season.
There's a name to watch. From an imports perspective, again, we have been asked a lot of questions about the imports. There's always interest in the imports and whether they're coming back, and we'll get to some of those a little later. Here's the list of imports from last season that are available right now. Olgan, I think it's important, and Pete, you've attended Summer League too. Important to preface here that a lot of the import decisions probably won't be made now until after Summer League.
Yeah, the big thing is that while it's very easy for us to be enamoured by the imports that come through the NBL, these guys, there are a lot of these sorts of guys around world basketball, playing in Europe, playing in the G League, and so teams aren't necessarily going to jump at, for example, a Pat Miller or a Jordan Usher, right? Pat Miller, for example, had a really solid NBL season, but there are a lot of Pat Millers out there, and so teams like to do their due diligence, go to the Summer League, continue their scouting and reviewing what they need. For a lot of these guys, I don't think any team will be really quick to pull the trigger. Not for most of them, I'd say.
It's also interesting to note that what the New Zealand Breakers have done by nailing three imports at a high level 2 years in a row, it's pretty rare. Because normally you have two, maybe one or two that are really coming to the league to have a massive impact in the first year, and then one that maybe doesn't adjust as quickly as you would like. But for them to do it three times with players, it's such a rare thing to do. So it does become enticing for these players we see on the screen who, okay, if you're a team that we want to get two unknowns, but we have one that we can rely on, we know he's had success in the NBL previously, we're going to have that locked in, and then we'll go to Summer League, then we'll look overseas and try and bring someone else in. It has a little bit of an asterisk, so we're just not sure how that adapts yet.
And the other thing I'll say is, imports get more expensive year on year, right? It makes way more sense if your processes are good when it comes to scouting and recruiting imports to go and get an import, and you get them for a lot cheaper. Look at someone like DJ Hogue, who the Cairns Taipans got. He wasn't necessarily cheap when they had him, but he obviously, his market grew in a big way after his season with Cairns, and the Sydney Kings paid up for him. It's probably easier on the pocket if you can go and develop your scouting processes first, go and recruit new imports as opposed to paying overs for imports that were in the league previously.
So a couple of names, though, that we wanted to highlight on the show today, mainly because they are being spoken about right now as opposed to some of the other names. Firstly, Marcus Lee. Go back to our live show on Monday, and I was watching the stream rolling through on my computer of questions from fans. All of a sudden, Marcus Lee, as an import big, has become one of the hottest commodities available right now.
I think it's because his first year with Melbourne United, he was elite defensively. His advanced data was off the charts. Second season with the Jack Jumpers, he won a championship. And then both of those fan bases, I assume, would have become enamoured by him because he's a great guy. And off the court, he connects really well with the community. He's also someone who I know wants to remain in the NBL. And so he would be open to all of the offers that come to his table. Right now, there are bites, there are little nibbles, but there's no sort of full-blown team ready to go all in just yet on Marcus Lee, but he has interest in coming back to the league.
It's also worth noting, as you said, that because he has a desire to stay in the NBL, teams can be a little slower in that because you know that he will continue to entertain that and I'm sure entertain things around the rest of the world as well. But from what I've been told, I mean, we mentioned Melbourne United would be a good suitor for him.
Do you think that's his best fit?
Well, now I've got Rob Lowe, it kind of changes it, right? It also depends on what happens with Ian Clark. I know there's mutual interest there from what I've been told to bring him back. If they're looking at a starting centre, I'm not sure whether that Marcus Lee's the one they have in mind. I know his name's on the whiteboard from what I've been told because I think they might need a more of an impactful guy like JLA was. Yep. But again, if they think of Rob Lowe, if Rob Lowe's kind of taking a lower role when you need him to be able to step in, and again, a good culture guy like Marcus Lee, a fantastic backup option, no doubt about it. But there's a lot of other teams around the league, I think, that could suit him as a backup five because he's not going to be as expensive as others. And it seems that it would shock me if he stopped in NBL 25.
I'll give you in my mind, I think the Wildcats are the perfect fit for Marcus Lee, to be honest. I think they need a bit of support. They're small at the four spot, which is by design, and Hyrum Harris is one of the hardest workers in the league, but there's a lot of pressure on Keanu Pinder. No Alex Saar this time around for the Wildcats as well. I think Marcus Lee's a great fit for Perth.
So the Perth Wildcats would have one import spot remaining. They've got Bryce Cotton, Christian Doolittle, and then they'd be Marquee and Keanu Pinder. So they have one import spot remaining. From what I understand right now, they're looking for a wing
right
with that import spot. Now, I agree with you that they're lacking some size. Mm. I think Sydney's also a team that's lacking some size. And so those are spots that need addressing, but I don't know outside of the next star, and Perth Wildcats got really lucky by having someone like Alex Saar as their next star, an impact guy at the five spot. Unless it's at the as a next star, I don't know the avenue in which the Wildcats can get a five man or someone big like that, because it does seem like they're intent on getting a wing guy as their import, because they do lack a lot defensively, especially on the perimeter.
And again, probably a little bit offensively as well, just an extra scoring punch. But you put Marcus Lee on a lot of these reserves.
Well, that's what I mean.
He's going to help these teams for sure.
He's become the hottest commodity available, right? The other is Jalen Adams. Sydney Kings fans are going to be hanging off your words here, Olgan, because they would love to see him return in this new Sydney team under Brian Gorjan. Where are talks at with the Kings and Jalen Adams right now?
So it's still very possible that Jalen Adams returns to the Sydney Kings. Those are live conversations right now between Adams and the Kings. There is mutual interest on both sides, but also the Sydney Kings, they have the world in front of them, right? And they have really good recruiting processes. And so they have their choice of which import point guard they want to bring in. And they're in a good situation as well, compared to last season, where right now they're going into getting those imports and they've got three of their five starters locked in. They just have to sandwich those three starters with an import point guard and an import big.
Could you see a world where someone else has a crack at Jalen Adams?
Yeah, I could. Just because we know that he went overseas after winning the MVP and winning a title and it didn't work out the way he wanted and he came back, it seems like he does really enjoy being in Australia and where that could be. Again, the way that Sydney continue to work, you feel like if they're having those conversations that it's more when it happens, not if it happens. But it wouldn't surprise me. But again, you would struggle probably to see any other team pop up because, again, you'd envision a former MVP is not going to come true.
That's the big one. And we said it before. He would be very, very expensive, especially for another team. When you can go get someone who is of a similar level when it comes to a skill set as Jalen Adams, you can maybe get him for $50,000 USD net cheaper. That is a lot of money that you're saving.
Now we want to take a look at the important next moves because there's still a lot to flesh out with the depth charts with some of them that you've already seen. But what happens next for some of these teams is really fascinating. And we won't get to all of the teams today, but Hulse, one team in particular, and you wanted to highlight in terms of what happens next.
Yeah, the important next move for me is the Adelaide 36ers. And again, with Will McDowell-White now off the table, they've had some big names linked. Since they locked in Scott Ninnis, Vasiljevic and Isaac Humphries, really positive start. They did that early. Everybody was thinking, okay, we now have a core group to move forward with. Then they got linked to Will McDowell-White. Everyone's trying to wonder what happens with Trey Kell, but then you hear Antonius Cleveland's thrown around. I know Justin Simon's name's been thrown around, even DJ Hoge.
Yep.
Because these big names have been thrown around with the Adelaide 36ers, they need one. They need to land one of them to be able to get the fans excited, but also help them move forward. And not just that, I think they need a name. So we talk about nailing imports. So they've got three import spots open. I think one of those three has to be someone who's been in the league before to be able to have the potential risk of throwing three unknowns out there, whether that is a Derek Wollen Jr. His name's been thrown up there a little bit. Pat Miller, potentially, if it is Trey Kell, if they're going to really load up with the money in the three and four spot, I think one of those three has to be a known name to the league.
Okay, so scenario here is that you're in charge of the Adelaide 36ers. You've got the checkbook. You've got an import spot to fill. What spot's getting the most money? Is it a 3-4 guy? Is it a pure 4? Or do they need to nail the point guard?
I'm lining up at the point guard spot. You look at the recent history, again, what Jalen Adams did at the Sydney Kings, especially. But having locked in one of the best local shooters in DJ Vasiljevic and what Isaac Humphries did last year, now that he's healthy, I think I've got to go and find a point guard who's going to complement them. And yep. he's not going to come cheap. And to be honest, the name's been thrown around, but I think Derek Bolton Jr. is the kind of player that would really suit that team going forward. He's going to find... Vasiljevic is also going to put numbers up offensively himself when he has to. And again, if they can get him, say, and Antonius Cleveland, then they can kind of have a little gamble on the power forward spot, but they're in a very good spot.
I agree. Vasiljevic and Humphries are their weapons, right? You need someone to be able to put them in a position to succeed. So as you mentioned, Vasiljevic, spot-up shooter. You want someone who's going to be able to bend the defense and find him. Someone like Isaac Humphries, a post option and also a role threat. Someone who can find him in all those spots. I agree, that's probably the position they need. And look what I compare him to what the Sydney Kings did 2 years ago, where Justin Simon was part of their roster, not necessarily the primary guy, but he was someone who was really, really effective in his role. They had an awesome point guard who was able to open things up and bend the defense for Xavier Cooks to be effective and for DJ to be effective. That's the position I think they need to focus on.
And if they did, though, go down and say they went and got DJ Hogue or, like, really high-impact score in the power forward, then I'm having to look at the conversation with Trey Kell. Then I think you can look at that and potentially bring him back. I think he's going to obviously probably be cheaper than a Derek Bolton Jr. and a DJ Hogue, but it's definitely one to watch. I think they need to make a splash because it's been quiet now and they missed out on Will McDowell, as every team did, but they need one of those big names to hit.
Olgan, who you got? Important next move.
I got the South East Melbourne Phoenix. They're a team that have loaded up on high-level Australians. Nathan Sobey, Jordy Hunter, they've got Mitch Creek. Now, we've spoken ad nauseum about whether these guys might take the opt-outs in their contracts, and that's sort of a wait and see. But I think they need to shore up their bench a bit more. Angus Glover was a really good first step. They've got Ben Ayre, Owen Foxwell, Matt Kenyon. But I think shoring up what their bench is from the front court perspective is really important. We look at the list of available free agents, and that list is dwindling.
Yep.
The talent there is quickly diminishing, and so... You look at who's available at those spots. I look at maybe a Jared Bairstow, a DJ Mitchell from a shooting perspective, someone like Deng Deng maybe, Obi Shea. Some of these names, it's really important to maybe lock one of these guys in because right now when it comes to their bench from their frontline perspective, I think they're really thin.
And again, we keep talking about the clauses, we harp on it because normally we see NBA clause, which is everybody's contract, or Euro clause. The Asian out clause, especially for the big men and the local big men, it's a little anxious to have because that's more reasonable, we should say, to be able to pop up and take that, which then puts you on the back foot again to have to go and find some other pieces. So I'm with you on that. They made a splash. They got Nathan Sobey, which is the big signing. Angus Glover, I think we're going to talk about that a lot in NBL 25, but that next move now is crucial.
And the out clauses were, I think, important to mention because it was the reason why Jordy Hunter didn't re-sign with the Sydney Kings. Yeah. From what I understand, there was mutual interest there from a personal perspective and from generally a money perspective too. But the Sydney Kings were not willing to put an Asia out clause in that contract because, one, we've seen Australian bigs go to Asia before, yeah, especially Japan. Two, Jordy Hunter has active interest from Japan. And from what I understand, he is very much interested in taking that if the right option comes in front of him. And so that's the reason why it's important to mention because I have a feeling... Jordy Hunter and Mitch Creek fully intend to use those outs if the right option does come up in front of them.
Had the chance late last week to catch up with Simon Mitchell, who's the new General Manager of Basketball Operations. You can download that podcast and check it out on all of the NBL's platforms. We posed a lot of those questions to him and had some interesting answers on them. My next important move is the Brisbane Bullets. Right now, I'm struggling to piece this all together. Now, I have faith in Justin Schuler and the Brisbane Bullets front office, but I'm looking at that depth chart. There's a lot of pressure on Josh Bannon. We don't often, and haven't seen Tyrell Harrison play full seasons because of injury, and there have been shoulders, and he's been very unlucky. Shannon Scott situation's still up in the air. There's a stack of pressure on Casey Prather to be their main import. Right now, there's more questions than answers about the Brisbane Bullets roster.
So the Bullets internally are confident that Casey Prather is going to take a step up and be closer to the Casey Prather we saw in previous years than the one we saw last year.
I hope so.
Last season he was working his way back to full health. Now everything with them now rides on that point guard spot. Now Shannon Scott, we can act as though he won't be there. That's how they're moving forward, right? They've missed out on Will McDowell-White. That's a big blow for them. They freed up a lot of money to sign him. Now all eyes are on that point guard spot. Yes, they have two spots to fill, that Shannon Scott spot and the Chris Smith spot. But the point guard one is the most important one. We've mentioned it a lot. It's really important to nail that import point guard, especially with the team they have, which isn't necessarily the most talented, but they're a team of competitors, right? They're a team of winners. So making sure that the right person is there to guide them is really important. Who they get in that spot, and they freed up a lot of money to do it, is so important.
Yeah, I think it's going to have to be that really high-impact player for sure, on the offensive end, no doubt about it. Which is interesting because Will McDowell-White, we know what he does at a high rate. I think they're probably going to look in a different direction now for that kind of player. And you mentioned Casey Prather. We want to see him get back to how electric
he was.
He missed such a massive amount of time with that knee injury. And for him to now go from just trying to get his feet wet back to professional basketball last season to not just a stride forward, like, hey, you're our guy now, 7 months later. That's where I think a little bit of the question mark is, because that's a big jump from not playing at all for 2 years to just having a bit of a run around to, hey, we want you back to how you were at Melbourne and Perth. I think he can do it. I hope he does, because if he does do that, he's going to be one of the most exciting players to watch.
And you said it, a lot of pressure on Josh Bannon. I think he's someone who's ready for that. We saw in the Boomers series across those two Asia Cup qualifying games that he's ready to take a leap. We saw at the end of the season the extent to which he grew. He had some injuries too. And so with the lack of talent on that roster, I think all eyes are going to be on him for another step up from a developmental standpoint.
Big thanks to all of you who are tuning into the marketplace and have thrown out your questions. We can't get to all of them today, but massive response. Thank you very much. We will definitely, towards the back end of this week, try and do another edition where it's just purely answering all of your questions. But we'll pick out some of the main ones from now, particularly for some of the teams that we haven't covered off yet. This one from Travis, but it was a pretty common question about Illawarra and the Gary Clark situation as it stands.
It's still a wait and see. We're still at a point where Illawarra Hawks have interest. Gary Clark is not against a return, but we're going to talk about this a lot. It's part of the reason Will McDowell-White is not going to be in the NBL next season. It's all about the money and whether the Illawarra Hawks can pay up to that. From what I understand, the Illawarra Hawks were just under the cap this past season by the smallest of margins. Paying up for an import really hurts you when it comes to trying to stay under the cap. So they want him back, but we'll see if they're able to pay up for him.
We said this about Justin Tatum. You've just got to get it done. At this point, because of what they did under Justin Tatum last year, you can't look at anything earlier than that. We've got to go on what we saw under Justin Tatum. That team structure, the way they played, how good Gary Clark was. It's just no ifs, ands, or buts. You have to get that done for that team going forward, because, again, then you've got a team, a core group that understands roles, they understand how to play. He's had success in the NBL. If they missed out on him, they could be taking a bit of risk somewhere else.
Do you know what I want to see? And this isn't reporting. This is just what I want to see.
Can you say off the record on the show? I'm not sure if you can.
That's not off the record, but this isn't...
We're kind of rolling.
This isn't reporting. This is more just like my opinion.
Yeah.
I would love to see Melbourne United, if they miss out, if Luke Travers goes to the NBA, I'd love to see them go after Gary Clark. Because I think they're a team that has the funds to go and get him. And you know that what they have from a shooting perspective with Chris Golding, and if they get Ian Clark back and Tanner Krebs and some of these guys, and even Flynn Cameron had a great shooting year. Having a target offensively could be so good for those guys, as opposed to what they have gone with in Luke Travers and Jack White and these guys. They've been connectors, right? I want to see them go after a target in one of those front court spots.
You better not walk down Wollongong anytime soon. That's the last thing they want to hear Melbourne United getting one of their stars.
That was him. It wasn't us. It was him. Speaking of that, this question from Liam. Anyone on the radar for Melbourne United? We kind of touched on United a little bit. I mean, they've got a proven record of landing things at free agency.
Well, they've got a bit of money now up for grabs with JLA not coming back. And we're talking about names that I'd like to see locked in. I think they need an impact in their centre position. And we haven't spoken about him since he came in the league for a short amount of time. But Tyler Cook would suit this Melbourne United team. You'd think
he's
not going to be cheap. We know that. That was the reason he didn't stay around. But you think about the impact Tyler Cook could have over an entire season with the other weapons they have around. I think that would be a very enticing name to throw out there. And I think he's on the whiteboard from things that I hear. But again, Mark, at least on the whiteboard, there's a lot of names on that whiteboard, and as we said, the issue with a lot of that is he doesn't come cheap, but I'd love to see him back in the league, and it seems like Melbourne United could have a swing.
The idea of Tyler Cook playing alongside Matthew Dellavedova, we saw the connection of Dellavedova and Ariel Hook-Porty with that lob threat next to him. Tyler Cook is a lob threat at a complete other level. He's an NBA level lob threat, and so someone like that next to Dellavedova, I would like that fit a lot.
This one from Nick Tan, very avid watcher, of course, of the NBL. Nick, thank you for your question. Is there any chance of Nick K coming back to the NBL next season? We get asked this one a lot.
This is my fault, I think.
You did this because of your chat with Gorge, right? Now, Nick K is making a lot of money in Japan right now. From what I understand, he signed a 2-year deal last season, right? So he's still contracted in Japan. I don't see him back in the NBL this coming season. Beyond that, we'll see. Post-Olympics, we'll see what his intentions are. But as, when it comes to NBL 25, I don't think there's a world where Nick Kay is able to get out of a Japanese contract that's worth a lot of money and is able to come here.
Yeah, and again, if they're trying to think that it's going to happen out west as well.
That's what Nick will be thinking, yeah.
But on the Wildcats, interesting, with Pepper signing there, and I've heard a lot of teams picked up the phone and wanted interest in the high-level college kid that he is and an impact kid. And I think he's chosen Perth because he knows there's going to be a role there for him to play. And I think that's why he turned down an offer from some other teams, from what I heard, which then poses the question to me, and this isn't a fan question, but what happens then to Ben Henschel? I don't see a real well where both of them are going to play impactful minutes going forward. Does that mean that he's going to ride the bench again? Does that mean that John Reilly's going to roll the ball out and say, hey, look, I need one of you are going to play impactful minutes. What happens there? Does he end up moving on? I don't know, but that was the first thing I thought once I knew that numerous other teams were interested in trying to get Pepper and he chose the Wildcats, that he's going to play some minutes here.
Yeah, and it's what's more puzzling is that you can't play them together.
No.
Because, and especially not with Bryce on the floor too, because you're giving up a whole lot defensively in that case. And so I think it was an interesting move, Pepper going to Perth, because I feel like he fills a role for them. He goes into a slot where he can be really effective, for example, next to Bryce. But on the defensive end, I'm really intrigued at the fit there and whether all of those guys can get minutes.
He's too good to be riding the bench, Ben Henschel. We need to see him play in the league. Couple of quick ones to finish off. This one from Noah. Has there been any link of imports to the Phoenix? Is it too early to tell?
Really early to tell. Obviously, they will have an import point guard spot to fill now that Will McDowell-White is off the table. But they also have Mitch Creek and Nathan Sobey, two guys who are more than likely marquees.
Yeah.
And so it's a really tough spot for them to go and get more than two imports now. Let's say an import point guard and an import. They were looking for an import wing throughout this entire process. And so right now, as far as names, it's very early to say.
Last one from Miss Chris. Patrick Miller update. He is an MVP candidate if he comes back, according to this question.
He was early on, no doubt about it, at the start of the season. And I think he'd have a lot of success. And looking at the depth charts, there's a couple of teams you think you could slot him alongside.
Adelaide.
Adelaide was one of them I was going to throw out there. We know that he doesn't shoot the three ball at a high clip.
But Illawarra.
He can take over certain games when he has to. Illawarra. We haven't heard
of Justin Robson. Name more teams.
There's a lot of teams. Again,
Tasmania.
Tassie would be a great one. I'd be interested to know, again, what would happen there. And for Cairns' sake, I'm sure they just wouldn't want to see a player lose to another team. I've no doubt about that.
Yeah, the problem with someone like Pat Miller is let's say he returns to the league. He's a known commodity. Let's say, just throwing a number out there, a team, he asked for $200,000 USD net, which is a lot of money to pay for an import. You can go get someone who has a similar resume to him, maybe isn't as sought after in the NBL, for $150,000 USD net. You're saving a lot of money on your cap and on your spend by doing that. And so I don't know if he showed a lot. I don't know if he showed enough for other teams to be clamoring to get him.
I like it when you talk dollars. You should do it more often. I like it.
I think he'd look good alongside Nate Sobey, the Phoenix, potentially. Mm-hmm. Get some other pieces and fill it right. I mean, we could say look good alongside number of different teams, but always on. I like retaining those high level imports, but again, as you said, they don't come cheap.
Do you know what's not better than, but what's equally as good as retaining high level imports is discovering new ones. We discovered Pat Miller this season, Jordan Crawford. We had a good time learning about new guys.
It's hard to get three. It's hard to nail three out of three.
Shout Parker Jackson Cartwright. It's really cool to get new imports in the league, and if they want to stay, awesome. And that's why Jackson Cartwright, to bring this full circle, awesome retention from New Zealand Breakers.
That's us done and dusted for today. We started with the big news of Will McDowell-White, and hopefully a lot of updates for you who are watching out there. Later on this week, we'll get back together again and we'll answer some more of the questions that you're posing for us. Hashtag NBL Marketplace right across this free agency period. Gentlemen, thank you very much. We'll do it all again soon.
Thank you, Jack.
Thank you for watching The Marketplace.